All right, let's get started. We're in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Shofar Sukkon Lulav. And we left off with Halacha Vav. So the Rambam explains, Hosiv Alav Kol Shehu. So now we're talking about things that you do to the shofar and if what you do to it can make it pasul or not. So if you add to the shofar Kol Shehu, Bein Mino Bein Shlom Mino Pasul. So you can't add anything to a shofar, whether it's made out of shofar stuff, meaning it's from the shofar itself, or let's say a piece of gold. You cannot add that to a shofar. So now the difference is there's an idea of making it part of the shofar versus coating the shofar. So if you coat the shofar inside or in the place where your mouth will blow, then it's pasul. Right? If you coat it on the outside, so it's very simple. If you coat the shofar on the outside, as long as it doesn't affect the sound coming from the shofar, then it's okay. But if it does, then it is pasul. Nasan shofar b'soch shofar. Let's say I put a shofar inside a shofar. Let's say a smaller one inside a bigger one. Im kol panimi shomea yatsa. So if I can hear the inside shofar, I fulfill my obligation. Vim kol chitzon shama lo yatsa. But if I can only hear the outer shofar, then I have not fulfilled my obligation. So let's just do halacha vav quickly again. I got through almost all of halacha vav. Basically, halacha vav says that you can't add anything to like the content of the shofar, right? Meaning, let's say there's a gap in it, I can't add something to it, but I can coat it. If I coat it on the inside or by the mouthpiece, it's pasul. If I coat it on the outside, if it changes the kol at all, then it's a problem. And finally, if I put a small shofar inside a big shofar, depending on what sound comes out, if I can only hear the smaller shofar, the inside shofar, then I'm yotzei. But if I hear the outer shofar, meaning the larger one, I'm not yotzei. And finally, hirchav es akatzar v'katzar v'rechav, pasul. So also what I can't do is I can't take, for instance, the using heat. I can't like make the narrow part wider and the wider part more narrow. So I can't really mess with the shape of the shofar. Okay, Halacha Zayin. Haya aruch v'katzro kasher. So let's say the shofar is long and I shorten it, then it's kasher. Gardo, bein bifnim, bein machutz. Okay, so let's say I go ahead and scrape away the inside of the horn itself, right? Whether it's inside or outside. Afilu ha'amido al-gildo kasher. So even if it's to the extent where, even if I grind, let's say I scrape out the entire inside, as long as there's a shell of the shofar left, it's still good to go. Hayakolo ave odak otsar kasher shakolakolos k'shem shofar. That's an important point. That doesn't matter the sound that comes out. It could be like a heavy sound. As we know, different shofars have different sounds. It's irrelevant. Any sound that comes out is a kasher sound. So it doesn't matter that the fact that some shofars don't sound alike. Okay, Halacha Ches, Hatokeh b'soch habor or b'soch hamaros, famous case. If someone blows a shofar, let's say, inside a cave, Osana omdim b'soch habor v'hamara yatsu. So if you're in the cave with the Baal Tokeh, you fulfill your obligation. V'omdim b'chutz, if you're standing outside the cave, im kol shofar shamo yatsu, as long as they hear the actual sound of the shofar, they're good to go. Vim kol havara shamo lo yatsu. But if they hear the echo, then they have not fulfilled their obligation. I don't know, it's always questionable how you exactly know the difference, but that's halacha. V'cheinu tzokei l'socha chavis agdolach yotzeba, if I blow shofar into a giant barrel, im kol shofar shamea yatsa, vim kol habara shama lo yatsa. So again, I have to hear the actual sound of the shofar and not the echo. And that's critical in being yotzei shofar. Okay, halacha beis, now we move along to the nature of the obligation. Perek beis halacha aleph, hakol chayavim lishma kol shofar, okay, so everyone's chayav to hear shofar. Kohanim levim Yisraelim, and the Gemara takes up why they bring that down. Gerim and slaves who've been freed. However, aval nashim v'avanim uktanim peturin. That's an important point. Women are putter from hearing shofar. That's clear. Mishachetzu evan v'chetzu ben chorin v'tumtum madroganos chayavin. We're going to take this up a little bit in detail, but someone whose status as a servant is, he's half servant, half free, or tumtum, which is someone who we can't ascertain their gender through the genitalia, or androgynous, which means they have both genitalia. All those situations are chayiv. Okay, halacha beis, kol mi she'eno chayiv bedavar, eino motzi, it's a chayiv yidei chovaso. So that's a famous principle. If I'm not obligated in something, I can't fulfill someone else's obligation. Lefikach isha o katan shetako b'shofar shemayim hen lo yatsa. So therefore, if a woman or a child blows a shofar, you cannot fulfill your obligation that way. Now androgynous, okay, motzi es mino. So an androgynous can fulfill the obligation of a fellow androgynous. Ve'eno motzi es she'eno mino, but he cannot. The androgynous cannot fulfill the obligation of somebody who's not an androgynous. Tumtum, right? Again, that's where you can't ascertain the status of the gender status of the person. Eina motzi lo esmino v'lo esh eina mino. So they can't be motzi anybody. She'atumtum she'nikra efshar she'yimza zachar v'efshar she'yimza nekeva. So in this case, where you can't ascertain the gender due to the genitalia being covered, if I opened up the area, if I did some sort of surgery, I'd expose whether this individual is a male or female. So since this suffix exists, since this suffix could be resolved, the tumtum's left in this state of purgatory when it comes to being motzi other people. Halacha gemel as well, v'chem v'shechetzu eved v'chetzu ben chorin, if somebody's in this the state of being half servant, half free, ain't a motzi afil la'atzmo. So he can't be motzi anyone, including himself. All right, she'ain tzad avda shabo, motzi tzad chayra shabo. And this is unique to halacha, the servant side of him cannot fulfill the obligation of the free side of him. So since this person has a dual identity, it doesn't work. So what should he do? So he has to go hear someone else blow shofar for him. Okay. Halacha dalet, now we're going to get away from individuals and more into types of blowing. Shofar lo. So let's say learning how to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Then I would not fulfill my obligation through the shofar blast that I produce. So not only am I not fulfilling my obligation, but if someone heard those shofar blasts, they're also not fulfilling their obligation. Right? That's also very important halacha. That's why the Baal Tokeya should always make the announcement that he's going to have in mind to motzi everybody. And everyone has a mind to be motzi through his shofar blast. Because if the person listening, has kavana to be motzi, fulfill his obligation, but the Baal Tokea does not, or vice versa, you don't fulfill your obligation. Achi yiskavin shomea mashmia. So that's a very important point. Both the Baal Tokea and the people listening to shofar blast, both of them must have intention, not to be yotzi the mitzvah, okay, but that they have intention to be hearing shofar blast. It's a very subtle point, but very important as well. Halacha hey, misha taka v'niskaven lahotzi kol hashomea, right? Kol hashomea tkiyaso, v'shama hashomea v'niskaven latzei shidei chavaso, afa pi she'ena tokea miskaven lezeh ploni she'shama tkiyaso, v'ena yoto yatsa. This is a very critical halacha. This is how today you can have a baal tokea in a shul be motzi everybody. So what the Rambam explains is that if the baal tokea, what does he have to have in mind to be motzi you? He doesn't have to have in mind to be motzi every individual in the shul. For instance, let's say the shul has 40 people. The Baal Tokeya doesn't have to go to each one and say, listen, I'm going to be motzi you, I'm going to be motzi you, I'm going to be motzi you. He could say, I'm going to fulfill the obligation of anyone who hears my shofar blast. Then, as long as I have intention to hear a shofar blast, I could fulfill my obligation. Because his intention was to include anyone who'd hear him. Now, it's interesting how far you can go with this halacha. Does that mean somebody walking by the shul? The case also in the Gemara is like, let's say, or the Rishonim bring down is, let's say I'm next door. It's interesting how far this halacha can go. As I just said, let's say someone's walking along or sitting in his house. And he hears the tekios from the shliach tzibur. So you fulfill your obligation if your intention was to fulfill your obligation. So that's a very unique thing that Chazal worked out for shofar, that by shofar blast, you're able to sit there and create like this communal fulfilling of obligation. Rather than say I have each individual in mind, you could just say I have any single person who hears a shofar blast in mind, and that person would fulfill their obligation by hearing the shofar blast. Okay, Allah Chavav, Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. Okay, so I'm not sure why this is so controversial, but this is a very controversial issue in Eretz Yisrael, as I've been made aware of by some people. Which is that if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, okay, ain tokum shofar b'chol makom, just like this year, the first day Rosh Hashanah came out on Shabbos, there's no tkiyah shofar anywhere. afapi shetkiya mishum shvus, right? So even though that it's an iser derabanan insofar as blowing shofar umin din hayashetoken yovo aase shel torah vidcha shvus shel dvarim, right? So normally what you would say is that the mitzvah aase d'oraisa should get rid of the iser derabanan of shofar, okay? V'lama ain't token. So why don't we do it? Gzeira shema yilena biyadov yolichena lemish yitka lo. The avinu arba amos v'shos rabim. It's the old question of that. What's the concern? Someone will take the shofar to someone who needs to hear it, and then carry the shofar arba amos and v'shos rabim, or omotziyom rishus l'rishus, or he'll violate the hotzah going from rishus to rishus. The yavol lidei iser skila, and now this individual will require to be stoned. Right, because everyone is obligated to blow shofar, but not everyone is a baki, is skilled at blowing shofar. So the Rambam continues with this. He's going to come back to this in a second. But for now, what the Rambam is saying is that this is the reason why we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that falls on the Shabbos. Halacha Zayin, Hatinoko Shelo Higiyu L'Chinuch. Okay, so continuing on the Shabbos issue, so little kids that are, let's say, like whatever, 4 or 5 year old toddlers, you don't stop them from blowing a shofar on Shabbos. Sheina yamto shel Rosh Hashanah kedei shilamdu, right? You don't stop them from blowing shofar on Shabbos that's not Rosh Hashanah, in order that they will learn. Umuto the gadol isasek iman kedei lamdu b'yomtov, right? An adult is allowed to kind of teach them, instruct them on Yantav how to blow shofar. Bein katan shegiya lechinuch, bein katan shloiki lechinuch. Whether the katan is old enough to learn or not. She'at tkiya in isura ela mishum shvus. Again, the iser of tkiya, and that's why the Rambam puts it that way. The blowing of the shofar is only an iser derabanan. All right. So now the Rambam explains halacha ches kishegazu shalolit ko b'shabbes. So when they said, when the Chachamim said you cannot blow shofar on Shabbos, okay, lo gazu ela makom she'in bo beizdin. The gzera actually only applied to any town where there wasn't a Beis Din. Alav Izman Shahaya Mikdash Kayam, okay, but during the times of the Beis Hamikdash, the Haya Beis Din HaGadol B'Yushalayim, and Sanhedrin was there, Hayuha Kol Token B'Yushalayim B'Shabbos, Kol Zman Shabbos in Yoshvin. As long as the Beis Din was in session, so to speak, they would blow shofar in Yushalayim on Shabbos. Velo Anshi Yushalayim Bilvad, and not just the people in Yushalayim, Ela Kol Ir Shahaisa B'toch Tchum Yushalayim. So anything that was within 2,000 Amos of Yushalayim would be included as well. V'haisa Ro Yushalayim, Lo Shetiyeh B'socha Nachal. Okay? Rather, what do you call it? Excluding those, for example, who was excluded? People, for instance, who were in like a riverbed. V'haisa Shamas Kol Tkiyas Yushalayim, Lo Shetiyeh B'rosh Har. Or someone who hears the cult of Yerushalayim, it wouldn't work if someone was, for instance, on top of a mountain. Or someone who could travel to Yerushalayim, where a river wouldn't stop them from getting there. Okay? Anshe osa ha'ir, hayu token b'shabbos k'Yerushalayim. So the members of those cities, okay, would blow shofar as well. The key point is that it wasn't limited to Yerushalayim. There's a tziruf, there's a connection that certain areas, locales would have to Yerushalayim, where they also blow on Shabbos. Ava b'shar Eretz Yisrael lo ayu token. And that's the key point. In most of Eretz Yisrael, the vast, vast majority, they would not blow on Shabbos. Okay? But what happens today? Halacha tes. V'zman hazeh shechar v'mikdash. Now that the base of Mikdash is destroyed, kol makom sheyesh bo beizin kavua. Okay? Any place where there's a Beis Din that's kavua. And what does that mean? V'hu sheyesh samuch be'Eretz Yisrael. This means they have smicha, real smicha, not today's smicha, token bo b'Shabbos. Then they can blow shofar on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah. Vein token b'Shabbos el beis din shekitshu as a chodesh. That's a proof for that. You can't blow shofar on Shabbos, right? Only with a Beis Din that was able to be mekadesh the chodesh. Aval shar bate dinen ain token b'hen afal pi shein smuchin. So if they lack this feature, so then you would not be able to blow shofar at all. All right, even if they had smicha. Vain token elefne bezin gadol bavad kolzman shein yoshvin right vafilu ninaru lamod v'lo amdu token mifnayan, and you'd only blow shofar right in front of the bezin gadol right the Sanhedrin right when they are in session okay even if they're getting to ready to leave you can still do it aval chutz the bezin ain't token but outside the bezin you couldn't do it now the lama token mifnay bezin. Why is the Rambam so uptight about this? Why do you have to blow shofar in front of bezin? Because the people in Bezin are very makben a mitzvos, v'lo yavo hatoken lahavir shofar bifneim birshus harabim, right? And the people won't succumb to the temptation of carrying their shofar on the birshus harabim. Shebezin mashiren es am modinosan, because Bezin warns the people and instructs them. So because of the relationship that Bezin has to the people, as long as they're in front of Bezin, they're going to be in a constant state of reminder that they're not allowed to go ahead and carry a shofar and a shas rabba. Since those qualifications don't apply today, that's why it's still usher on Shabbos. And I know full well that people today, you can argue, especially with what we have with Eruvs, this problem doesn't really exist as much anymore. The concern about carrying a shas rabbim or from a shas rush isn't really normal today because we have all these Eruvs. But nonetheless, the halacha is halacha. Halacha yud, bizman azesh anu osin shnei yamim begalus. But today, when we do 2 days of Yantav in Gullus, Kederek Shetokin Barishon Tokin B'Sheni. So the same way I blow shofar on the first day, you blow shofar on the second day. V'imchal Yom Rishon Lios B'Shabbos, V'lo Yom B'Makom B'Bezin Ariyon L'Tkoa, Tokin B'Sheni B'Vad. So therefore, if Rosh Hashanah comes out the first day on Shabbos, and I'm not in an area where there's a Bezin Kavua, I only blow shofar on the second day. And that's that. Okay, Parag Gimel now gets into the shofar blasts themselves, okay? And the Rambam goes through a little bit of history. He says, "Halacha Aleph, kama tkios chayv adam lishmo b'yontov shel Rosh Hashanah." So this is one of the most intriguing areas of Rosh Hashanah, which is the source and the Mesorah for how we blow shofar. So how many tkios are you supposed to hear? Okay, teisha tkios, 9 shofar blasts. Levisha nemra trua biyovel uver Rosh Hashanah shlosha pa'amim. Okay, because it says the word trua 3 times. V'chol trua pshuta lifanea upshuta lachareya. And any trua that exists always has before it a long sound and after it a long sound. I know we don't know what a trua is yet, but what the Rambam is saying is a trua is always accompanied by a long sound before and a long sound after. V'piyah Shmuel lamdu, shekol truos shel chodesh hashvi echad hein, bein Rosh Hashanah, bein Yom Kippurim shel Yovel. And we also learned out from our Mesorah that the truos that you do on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur of Yovel are exactly the same. Therefore, teisha tekiyos token b'chol echa mishnayan. So you're chayav to blow 9 total shofar blasts, either on Rosh Hashanah or Yovel, beyond both. Tekiyah trua tekiyah, tekiyah trua tekiyah, tekiyah trua tekiyah. So that's the initial formulation of the shofar blast. That's it. Now, of course, halacha beis, trua zu, what is this trua? This trua that the Torah speaks of, hamor b'Torah, nistapik lanu ba'safik v'i orach hashanim v'rova glios. Now, it's a big machlokas about what exactly happened, but the Rambam holds there was a suffix that emerged over the years and through being exiled, vein anu yodin heyachi, and we weren't quite sure what the trua was. Now, to be clear, that doesn't mean we didn't know that a trua was a cry. We just didn't know specifically the nature of the cries. Im haya hayulala shemilalin anashim b'niyasam b'eishim yavin. So is it the cry that women cry when they moan? Or ha'nacha k'derech sh'aneich ha'adam pam achar pam k'jish dagliba medavar gadol? Or is it like the cry that a person who's like very distressed about something? Okay? O shneim k'echad. Or do they go together? Ha'nacha v'hayalala sh'darcha lovo achari ha'im ha'nikra'in trua. Right? Or is it like is it the longer to shorter cry? Right? These are all called trua. Sh'kein derech ha'doeg misaneach t'chilav archach milal. V'vikach ein anu osen ha'kol. So we do each one of these because each one of them potentially could be a trua. There could be the short sound, there could be the what we call the shvarim sound, or a combination of the two. So the Rambam holds, since we didn't know, that's why we do all 3. So now that's going to increase the total shofar blast, as he explains in Lacha Gimel. Hayilalo hi shanakorin trua, v'anacha zu achar zu hi shanakorin osa shlosha shvarim. Okay, it's important to emphasize by the anacha, he says one after the other. It's very important by shvarim that one always follows the other. Nimsa seir tkios kachu. So this is the order tkios. Mivarech v'tokea tkia v'achareya shlosha shvarim v'achareya trua v'achareya tkia. So first you blow a tashrat. V'chozer kaseder zeh shlosha palmim. So you do 3 tashrats. Then you do tokea tkia achareya shlosha shvarim v'achareya tkia. V'chozer kaseder zeh shlosha palmim. You do 3 tashats. And then v'tokea tkia v'achareya trua v'achareya tkia. V'chozer kaseder zeh shlosha palmim. And you do 3 tarats. Nimsa minyan tkios shloshim. Daily stalik mina suffik. So the amount of shofar blasts that you require to do are 30 to get you out of every suffik. Okay, and there is no tkia gedola. Halacha dalid shir trua kishte tkios. So now, what is the length of the trua? A length of a trua is approximately 2 tkios. Shir Shlosha Tzvarim Ketrua, and the Shira of three Shvarim is one Trua. Haresha Taka Vehiria Vetaka Tkiaruka Umashak Ba Kishnaim Barishona. Okay, so let's say a person, when he was blowing, he blew a tekiah, a trua, and then a very long tekiah at the end, that would be the length of two tekios. Ein orim tekshav kishtei tekios, v'yariya achareya v'yachzor v'yitka, ela filu mashach ba kol yom, ein ela tekiah achas, v'chozer v'tokeya mariya v'tokeya shosh bamim. So again, what's important to Rambam saying is that if I blow a very long shofar blast, I can't economize shofar blasts. There must be discrete sounds. So even though the length of my shofar blast, my tekiah, might be two tekios worth, okay, and then I would think, oh, look, I'm saving time. I can go right into, let's say, my next set. No, they have to be discrete sounds. So even though a tekiah has to be a certain length of time, the tekiahs must be separate from each other. Halacha hey. Now, okay, shama tekiah achas b'shazu, ushniya b'shashniya. So let's say I heard one tekiah at 9 o'clock and a second one at 10 o'clock. Afilu shaha kol yom kulo. Even if this took place over the entire day, hare elu mitstart from yatzadei chavasa. It's a very interesting idea. There's still a tziruf, so even though, whereas I can't blow a long sound and have it fulfill two tekios, I could have a massive interruption between my tekios and still be yotze. V'hu sheyishma kol bava mehen al sidra, as long as I hear them in order. Lo sheyishma trua v'acharei shtei tekios or shtei tekios v'acharei trua yotze b'zeh. So if I started off, let's say, I decided to hold the minion hostage, and the Baal Tokeya said tekia, and I'm the Baal Tokeya, and I blow a tekia, and then he says shvarm trua, and I decide to wait. I could wait as long as I want to, right? And then as long as I continue on the Seder, it's fine. And still be Yotze. Okay, Shama, Teisha, Tekios, okay, Miteisha B'nei Adam, Ke'achad, Lo Yotzal Fli'idei Achas. Now, if I heard nine Tekios from nine different people, okay, I've not, fulfilled my obligation, even one. Tekia Mizeo, Trua Mizeo, Tekia Mishlishi, Bezer Chazeh, Yotza. However, if I heard a Tekia from one guy, Trua from another guy, and a Tekia from another guy, one right after the other, I am Yosef. I feel the Bisi Rugen. It's going to be even if it's, even if there are interruptions. I feel the Kolyam Kulo, even if it's the entire day. Okay, so if I heard a Tekia from one guy, and then someone told me about the Yankee game, and then a Trua from a different guy, I'd still be Yosef. Then Yosef Chavoso, Ach Yishma, Kol Hatesha Tekio, Shekulam Mitzvah Achasein, Levikach Machvat Zuatzu. But it's important to know that I don't fulfill my obligation until I hear all nine shofar blasts, right? Because they're one mitzvah. So ultimately, there has to be a completion of all the shofar blasts. If I'm missing one, I didn't fulfill my obligation. Okay, Lach Hazayin, Hatzibur Chayavon Lishmat Kiel Saseder Brachos. So now this is where Chazal step in, that they say that Kiel should be heard tied to Musaf. That's the Seder Brachos. Ketzad, Omer Shleik Tzibur Avos Gros Kedushas Hashem, Umachios V'Tekiah Shalosh. V'Omer Zichronos V'Tekiah Shalosh, V'Omer Shofos V'Tekiah Shalosh, V'Omer Bavod Avodaya Birkas Kohanim. So this is the format of Musaf. After the normal start of tefillah, when he gets up to Machios, he does three, Zichronos three, and Shofros three. Halacha Ches, Shlosh Brachos Emtsayos, Eilu Shel Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim Sheyovel, Shein Machios Zichronos Shofros, Ma'akvos Zuat Zu. That's also an important halacha. It's important to know that you can't have Machios without Zichronos, and Zichronos without Shofros, they all go hand in hand. B'tzarech Lomar B'kol Bracha B'hen Asar P'sukim Ena Bracha. Another thing people don't realize, you have to say 10 P'sukim, okay, in each section. Shlosha psukim in a Torah, shlosha misefer tehillim, v'shlosha min a neviim. So three from Torah, three from tehillim, which is ksuvim, and three from neviim. Vecha min a Torah mashen bo, and then one from Torah at the end. Just to let you know, in many Ashkenazi machzorim, there's a tremendous shibush that's taking place where only in Machios does it end with a pasuk from the Torah, but zichronos and shofaros do not. The Rav was very opposed to that. And if you look in his master, you'll see there's always a pasuk from Torah at the end of...